Welcome back to the Sports Ticket as we're joined now by the voice of the Jayhawks, as we are every single Thursday, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. Brian Haney is with us. And Brian, we're getting ready for KU football game coming up against Oklahoma State. Les Miles going back to where it all started. It's going to be a little bit bittersweet for him, won't it?
You know, I guess if we lose, it will be. Bittersweet. I don't know. I think he's happy where he's at, and certainly proud of what those years did for him and setting him on a path. But I think if you listen to Hawk talk last night, it's a man that's so grateful because so many of the big moments of his family's life occurred there, whether it was the initial coaching stint as an assistant on staff for 3 years back in the 90s, or the 2001 through 05 stint, 4 years as a head coach. Some of his kids were conceived and born there. Obviously, T. Boone Pickens was a guy that was instrumental in it, backing him and supporting him all until the day he left, of course, so they didn't see eye to eye on that. But I think no bitterness unless they take it on the chin. I think he's in a good place on where his path in life took him. I mean, when you go to LSU and average 10 wins a season for 11 full years there, he made the right call. I think it'll only be bittersweet if, for some reason, there's not a positive perception. And I don't think that's the case. Oklahoma State fans, they could be rowdy, but at the end of the day, they're classy enough to know a good thing when they see it. And I think they're a very knowledgeable fan base and know that the Mike Gundy era could not have happened were it not for the Les Miles era. Gundy was the offensive coordinator for Coach Miles, and you know, he got it up and rolling, did Coach Miles before handing the keys off to Gundy. And so I really expect a warm reception. And then so long as the game doesn't go immediately south, I think it's actually going to be a great day for Coach Miles to be back there for the first time in 15 years and to hopefully feel some love from a fan base that certainly, though his time was short, think about, say, the Larry Brown era, for example, at Kansas for basketball, yet still beloved because of what he did in that short four-year window.
Yeah, and maybe I use the wrong term, bittersweet. I'm just, I think about my situation. If I go back where my career started, it's not that it's bitter, but it's kind of like I go back and I see that, hey, the radio station I first started out at, the building's gone. It's not the same location, but they're still up and going, and that's cool, and everything else, and you catch up with old friends, and that's fun, and you reminisce, and you think about the good old days, and yet you're happy where you are, and nobody's mad that you left, and so forth. So maybe I used the wrong term there, but the bottom line is KU is 3-6 overall, 1-5 in the Big 12. This is a big game for KU. Oklahoma State, it's also a big game for them. They're 6-3, 3-3 in the Big 12. They're trying to jockey for position to get as good a bowl game as they can. And one thing that I noticed for Kansas, certainly last couple of games, and certainly the game against K-State, is that KU is going to have to do a better job against quarterbacks that are mobile. And Spencer Sanders is a very mobile quarterback for the Cowboys.
Yeah, he certainly is. And I think I saw that on average, 32% of the rushing yards that KU's been giving up lately have come from quarterbacks. And clearly, last week there was no answer for Skylar Thompson on some of those sprint option plays. There were situations where KU wasn't within 5 or 6 yards of them. I mean, he just had huge lanes. And so you hope that they've made some adjustments. You hope that you get one or two guys back defensively. Coach wouldn't name names last night, but said that the bye week certainly helped a couple of guys that might have been dealing with issues we didn't even know about. So I do think this was a good year to have two bye weeks, one right at the midway point when you could install a new offensive coordinator, and then one right in the middle of the big conference run that you're trying to navigate through and a chance to recalibrate and rest up and heal up a bit. So I think I have high hopes that the defense will look better, but clearly OSU's going to score, and clearly Chuba Hubbard's going to get his. You're not going to hold this guy to less than 80 yards and just shut him down, right? So the Kansas and Brent Bierman with their offense get up off the carpet and come out swinging after a performance versus K-State, which was not at all in line with what we'd seen the previous 2 weeks. I mean, his first 2 weeks, albeit just a two-game sample size, they're averaging 43 points a game and 540-some yards, and then it all went up in smoke versus K-State. So what I'm getting at is, to your point about defending the talented rushing attack, quarterback and running back of OSU, do just enough You know, nobody's expecting Kansas to have some steel curtain, you know, 2 weeks after we last saw him get gassed by K-State. I mean, K-State averaged 6 yards a carry and was doing so with the quarterback, Thompson, but then a third, fourth, and fifth string running back behind him, not even their top two guys. So nobody's expecting anything to be blanketed, but if they could be just good enough, and then we see the offense come out slinging it, and we see them return to prominence, then I think you've got a great shot to win this game. I really do. And so I think Kansas historically has been really rough road trips down to Stillwater, but this is not a Cowboy team that's just otherworldly in a completely different hemisphere talent-wise than Kansas. And there have been cases of that over the last 20 years between the Les Miles and Mike Gundy eras. That's not the case this year. Yeah, they're significant favorites, but it's not out of reach by any means. Neither of these next two road games are. And if Austin and Boston are any indication, Kansas can be a much more competitive team away from home this year. So we're hopeful that's going to be the case. And I know this, that the team certainly believes still, and they're certainly fighting hard still. They've thought since day one they could possibly do a bowl game, and they know that if they don't win this week, their odds are long. Because, well, occasionally you see the 5-7 teams get in when there aren't enough 6-6 and better teams to fill out all the bowl slots. It's not a likely scenario. You pretty much have to run the table. And so, according to Coach, it's been an amazing week of practice. They're as dialed in as they've been all year. And I think that should show some serious progress on the field come Saturday. Will it be enough to win? Tough to say. But certainly we're going down there expecting for a fight and looking forward to seeing a much more competitive showing than what we saw in the Sunflower Showdown.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you each and every Thursday on the Sports Ticket by our friends at Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them 738-5701. All right, so the latest college football playoff rankings came out. What is Brian Haney's top four? Have you had a chance to look at it and say, okay, here's who I got at 1, 2, 3, and 4?
I'll be honest with you, I really haven't paid a lick of attention to it. We've been so engrossed in overlap season of basketball and football and doing our own thing here at Kansas. Not that I'm not aware of it. I'm a Heisman voter, so I look more at, you know, the Heisman race with LSU, Alabama last week. I was watching that game, watching the quarterbacks, and thinking, how does Tua, 3 weeks removed from his high ankle sprain surgery, compete against Burroughs? And ultimately, obviously, LSU vaults to the top. And then maybe Bama, for the first time since the inception of the college football playoff, is on the outside looking in. We'll see. But I'm excited. I think you got enough remaining games where some of those teams in the top four could fall, like we saw last week with Bama and Penn State, you know, both going down, that there's enough, including the conference championship weeks, where Bama could still creep in. Not that we're hoping for that by any means. But I think you're going to see enough upheaval in the last month that it's going to be really compelling and entertaining to watch. So we'll see. I think one of the more intriguing stories, quite honestly, they're not going to necessarily get in, but you know, the job that we've seen done up there by P.J. Fleck at Minnesota,
yeah,
a guy that a few years ago when he was at Western Michigan, you know, took college football by storm in what I think was a 13-0 season that year, and then he took the Minnesota job somewhat ho-hum style, because a lot of folks, you know, thought, well, maybe he takes the Baylor job, maybe he goes somewhere where his, you know, high-flying offenses could be more on display than your typical Big Ten slug-it-out type performances. And yet, you know, he was already recruiting that region of the country really well, and he goes out there and, you know, look at him 3 years later, and he's killing it. So I'll be really interested to see. I don't know if the, you know, metrics stack up favorably enough to make that type of leap all the way in the top four. But I think Clemson belongs there, even though they've not been as convincing with Tyler Lawrence, quarterback. And obviously Georgia right now looks like they're, you know, in the catbird seats, you know, behind in the top three. But to me, I think it's currently looking the way it should. LSU and Ohio State belong. Clemson and Georgia, as of today,
yeah,
November the 14th, you know, with sparkly 10-0 and then Georgia's case 8-1 records, they'll be there. But like I said, I think at least one, maybe two of those might be on the outside looking in if you look at what still lies in front of all the top six or seven teams right there in the pecking order.
Well, Ohio State's got to play Penn State, Michigan, and the Big Ten championship game possibly. So they've got some big games yet to go. LSU, the SEC title game, probably be okay up to that point. And even if they lose the SEC title game, LSU, I think, is probably in. Clemson, they can't afford a loss. They haven't really played anybody this year, but neither is Alabama until LSU, and they lost to LSU. So there's lots of things to figure out. Minnesota's got a tough schedule. They have to beat Iowa. Forgot who they have after that. And, of course, if they make the Big Ten title game, they'd have to beat possibly Ohio State. So there's a lot of work to be done. Oklahoma still maybe has a shot at making the playoff if they win out. And same thing could be said of Oregon and Utah. And we all get all riled up about it, but usually it kind of takes care of itself when we get down to the end, and then we're arguing about maybe two teams for one spot, which will always always be the case, whether you have a playoff of 8, 16, 32, or 4 teams. But I still think it's a joke that it's a 4-team playoff. To me, it's not a playoff if you don't include all 5 of the Power Conference champions. If you leave one out automatically every year, I don't know how that's a legitimate playoff. Imagine the NFL having just 4 teams that make the playoff and decided these 4 other division winners, they're not good enough. It's ridiculous in my opinion.
And what if the Minnesota story I gave with P.J. Fleck, what if they're undefeated at 13-0, but because they really didn't play anybody of note the first 2 months and they arrived at the party late, they were ultimately too late to climb. I think right now, what are they, 8th?
Yeah.
Is there enough time to climb all the way to the top 4? What if they're sitting there undefeated, but they're 5th, and you're telling them they can't compete for a national championship? That's ridiculous.
All
you have to do is add 2 more teams, give a bye to the top 2 seeds, and you at least get more inclusion. I know everybody wants 8, but make it like the NFL playoffs where the top 2 teams get a bye in the first round,
sure,
and you get a reward of rest and extra health and all that for being considered national title contenders in the top 2. But just by opening up a 5th and a 6th spot, you go back and look at the previous 6-7 years and how many more really compelling cases could have been made from that 5th and 6th chair positions. That would solve a lot of the angst. I know the naysayers out there will say, oh, then we'll be debating about the 7th and 8th teams. Yeah, probably. But I think in most years' cases, since we've had this format, the biggest gripes were the team was just on the outside looking in. And this is one of those years where you could very much have that. And it might be Saban and Tua, they're on the outside looking in. It might be the Cinderella P.J. Fleck story. But somebody's going to be left out. And yet, like I said earlier, and you just very astutely chronicled it all, somebody in there right now is certainly going to be knocked out. So how those musical chairs shift and shake over these next 4 or 5 weeks is going to be really exciting.
What I want to see, and I know it won't happen, but I'll tell you what will blow up the playoff and make them go to 8 or maybe even 16. And it seems simple, and it won't probably happen because it's highly unlikely. But if you really want to see – everybody talking about mass chaos, a whole bunch of teams losing. I agreed to a point, but what you really want – you can pick any team for every one of the Power 5 conferences. I don't care what you want to do. You want to go with LSU? Fine. You want to go, let's say, Oregon out of the Pac-12? Fine. Clemson? Fine. Oklahoma and Ohio State. Let's say all 5 of those teams go undefeated. You've got 5 Power 5 champions who all play a conference title game, all go undefeated. How in the world do you leave one of those out? And they're all brand names. That's what I want to see 1 year, because that, I'm telling you, will make everybody's head explode, and that playoff will be done from that point, because you'll understand the joke that it is when you leave out one of the top 5 Power Conference champions or a legitimate team. You have 5 undefeated teams, and we've seen it. Central Florida's been kept out. Little guy, okay, you can make an excuse about that. Well, they're not a Power 5, and they can't compete, or we don't think they can, blah, blah, blah. But if you had 5 major players, all went undefeated, 1 from each conference, which I know is highly unlikely, that's what would blow this thing up.
Yeah, completely agree. And I don't know that the Big Ten scenario would be that way this year. If it was Minnesota and Ohio State, and Minnesota beat Ohio State, they'd probably jump high enough, but it could happen eventually where you get one of those scenarios where some team that, like Minnesota, didn't get a lot of attention until very late, and all of a sudden they try to crash the party, but it's not quite enough. That'll be what ultimately sets those tectonic plates in motion and causes the ground to quake and the whole thing to come crumbling down. So we'll see, but it's going to be interesting, no doubt. It's a fun finish run here.
Could be Baylor too. Baylor could be one of those that, you know, if they run the
table.
But yeah, man. I don't think they will either. And by the way, I don't think Minnesota will either.
I don't want to give me in trouble, but that's got to be the most flawed undefeated team at this deep in the season I've ever seen. Because wow, I mean, should have lost to Tech were it not for a blown call.
Yep.
TCU had them on the ropes and couldn't finish them off. They just keep winning. So give Coach Rhule all the credit in the world. I think he's a terrific coach. I love a lot of aspects of their team, but man, if you're talking about mid-November undefeated in recent modern-day college football history, this does not look like a world beater at all. But hey, man, you know, they just keep making it happen. I think it's great for Kansas, though, because if Les Miles does keep his guys engaged, despite how the next 2 weeks go, that could be an unbelievable opportunity to make a national statement on your senior day when Kansas trots out three or four seniors that I think will play on Sundays next fall, playing in their last home game at David Booth Kansas Memorial Stadium, suddenly with Baylor having a huge target on its back. That could be a lot of fun here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it could be. I think Baylor's going to lose Saturday at home to Oklahoma. I don't think they have enough firepower offensively, although Oklahoma's defense is atrocious right now. And then, you know, I think Minnesota's probably going to turn around and lose to Iowa. They haven't beat Iowa in Iowa for 20 years. And these two Cinderella stories, I think that's what they are going to come to an end this weekend. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong, because I think it would be great for those different types of programs to have a shot at the playoff. Let's shift to basketball here real quickly. KU with a win over UNC Greensboro, and now they got a game against Monmouth coming up, a team that led K-State at halftime last night. Just your quick observation or two about the win recently, and thoughts on the game tomorrow night.
Well, I think we were all really intrigued at halftime last night, and then we saw just a obliteration in the second half that maybe makes your expectations come back down to life a little bit. But I do think it's a good stretch for Kansas, these three games between New York and Maui, because at least two of these teams, the one we just saw in Greensboro and the one we'll see next Tuesday, are projected NCAA tournament teams. And the Southern Conference isn't likely going to get two teams, but as Bill Self told us last week, Greensboro was the 69th team on last year's selection committee pecking order. They were the first team out. And we saw Kansas at one point lead them by 21 in the second half, and that came when they went to the four-round-one offensive look, and Isaiah Moss started hitting threes, and they spaced the floor better and really looked so much more in rhythm. Not saying that's the answer. Now that you're with Jalen Wilson, who might be your best stretch four-man, or at least what could have grown into your best stretch four-man, most naturally built for that, then it's going to be probably a situation where Bill Self tries the bigs a little bit longer in the three-around-two. Not exclusively, but half the game. And I think that you need to at least give it another couple of weeks, at least up until the Michigan State game, if they play Michigan State in Maui, because at the end of the day, and we touched on this last week, if we did a fantasy draft with the best KU basketball players of their nine scholarship guys that are now healthy, I'm not so sure that Doak, David, and Silvio don't go off the board in the top five, certainly in the top six. So if you just mail in any aspirations of doing three around two, because, well, the floor isn't being spaced well enough, they're getting everything clogged up, it's not flowing, hard to defend the perimeter right now with a five-man guard to four. And I get it. For all those reasons, you might be tempted to not play to your advantage. But that means two of your best five players are now competing for what on Friday night was 17 remaining minutes. That didn't seem like truly putting your best players in a position to accentuate your strongest positives. So I'm not saying the Jalen Wilson injury was a good thing at all. Please don't confuse it. But it may not force Bill Self, but coerce Bill Self to try a little bit longer with the two bigs on the floor. Not exclusively, but maybe it's, I don't know, in a 40-minute game, maybe it's 15 minutes of two bigs and 25 minutes of four-round-one. I don't know. But the rest of the time, you're still getting extra minutes for Silvio and David if Doak's not on the floor, until you're bumping them up more than what we saw the other day, because McCormick's a budding star in this league. He only played 10 and a half minutes. Silvio maybe hasn't had his best preseason. He plays 6 minutes. They got to find more time for those guys and more room to roam once they get in the game. But Coach Self is a strategic mastermind. He will find a way. But I think that's something we continue to harp on and talk about. And the Jalen Wilson twist only makes it more interesting, because I think in some ways it kind of pushes you toward trying a little bit harder at three around two, even though admittedly it looks so much better with four around one for much of that run in the second half.
All right, so Jayhawks against Monmouth coming up tomorrow night. As Monmouth sticks around in the state of Kansas after playing K-State, they'll roll to Lawrence coming up tomorrow evening. All right, it's time. Oh, actually, I want to get to one more thing. The KU women's soccer team. Why don't you fill everybody in on this? There might even be people that are Jayhawk fans that don't even know this is taking place. Let everybody know how well the soccer team's doing and what they have in store on the horizon.
Well, we're excited about Mark Francis and his staff and everything that's has transpired here, not just in the last week winning the Big 12 title, but going back to a season in which they've just been so stinking impressive throughout. But awesome to see them come through in Kansas City, and we've been waiting for that because the Big 12 soccer championships are usually right up the road here, and sure enough, they finally made it happen with the Big 12 title on Sunday, which is fantastic. So we're looking to meet some Houston again here in the NCAA tournament coming up at 5 p.m. on Saturday, and excited to hopefully see a deep tournament run. I think everybody expected them to have a good year, but it's been an even better than expected excellent year when you talk about what they were able to accomplish in the regular season and what we think could be, I don't know, Sweet 16, Elite 8 type team this year, and they're pretty young too. So I think we have to be encouraged that no matter what happens on Saturday and the weeks to follow, Mark Francis has this thing absolutely skyrocketing upwards, and just a couple of years removed from what Ray Bouchard was doing with Final Four caliber performances in volleyball, it's nice to see another fall sports, really rise. So Kansas, Iowa, check them out on Saturday. If you can make it over to one of the most beautiful soccer facilities, not just in the conference, but in the country, we'd love to have you. And I'm told the temperatures are supposed to warm up a little bit. So listen to the football game as you drive over, and then cheer on the Jayhawks and the Hawkeyes on Saturday at 5.
All right, time for the off-the-wall question. My youngest son, Liam, or Miller the second. Liam, he had his sixth birthday on Tuesday. He was born on 11/12/13, so I'll never forget that. And he had his sixth birthday on Tuesday. And one of the things that he wanted for his birthday, this is a weird request, he kind of forgot about it, but he requested a week or two ago, is he likes donuts. And so he requested a donut cake. And we actually supported a fundraiser locally and bought some Krispy Kreme donuts. And my wife came up with this idea, and she stacked these donuts and made a donut cake with mini chocolate donuts and regular Krispy Kreme glazed donuts, had a candle and everything, and presented it to him, and he loved it, and it was pretty cool. And he got some other things, of course, on his sixth birthday. He got a nice toy combine and tractor from grandma, and he was playing with that yesterday because he got sick yesterday, the day after his birthday, which is a bummer, but he was healthy enough in the afternoon to play with his toys, so it all worked out. So the off-the-wall question for you, Brian Haney, I'm going to tell you to go back in the time machine. Do you remember what you received on your sixth birthday, or do you just simply have a memory that might be fun for people to hear about when you were six or as far back as you can go in regards to a memory, a fond memory, not a bad one, a fond one?
You know, it's not that juicy of a story, but I probably one of my earliest memories, five or six, was waking up and looking out my bedroom window. My parents had put together a balloon tree for my birthday, meaning the backyard tree had about 40 balloons tied to each branch. And I don't know how my dad got up on the ladder and did all that. It was the most amazing thing.
That's cool.
For a 5 or 6 year old to look out the window and see. I don't know about you, but now at 39, it's really hard to remember a whole lot.
Yeah.
Prior to maybe 8 years old, but mm-hmm. That's when KU won the national title. I remember where I was at when Danny and the Miracles won it.
Sure.
I got to go to a World Series game in 85, but I really can't piece much together from that because I was just 5 years old. Mm-hmm. But that balloon tree on my fifth or sixth birthday is a pretty vivid image, and maybe not as cool as the donut cake that Liam got, but certainly up there and something I was grateful for.
I tell you what, that's a cool story. It really is. You shortcut a little bit. I think it's a great story, and I appreciate you sharing that. It is. It's neat that, your dad went out and put his life on the line climbing trees to put balloons on limbs for you. That's, for me, I would have done only, however you were 6 years old, I wouldn't have done 40 balloons. I would have probably done six. And I probably would have said that's
right.
Good enough, But hey,
candles in the cake.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Right. Save some money. You know what it is. Well, that's a pretty cool memory. Hey, man, we appreciate as always being with us every Thursday to talk KU athletics. A lot of good things that are happening. And I know it's a busy time of your season. So safe travels down to Stillwater. Have a great call tomorrow and a great call on Saturday. And we'll recap it all with you next Thursday.
Thanks, buddy. I look forward to it. Always a pleasure.
Take
a great weekend.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, with us every Thursday, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Millen Boulevard, or give them a call at 738-5701.